are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their careers. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download any one of our shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, and just click on that link. And that takes you directly to our archive page. And that is where you view all of the list of our past guests. We've been on since 2008, so we've got lots of different careers for you to check out the shows and get really great advice. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. So just go to the search box, type in Question Reality Radio, and that's where you'll find all of our shows as well. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, that's a whole different website. That's our official website, and that is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And as you know, because our show is so popular, thank the Lord above, hallelujah, and all that good stuff, we are usually booked 6 months to a year in advance, and right now we've only got about 4 or 5 spots left. So if you know anyone in the entertainment industry that works professionally that would like to come on the show, give us wonderful advice for our audience, and also to promote any of their projects, please have them email me and we'll take a look at them and possibly get them on. Now, if we can't get you on this year, we start booking again in October for next year. So perfect opportunity to come on in January. Wonderful. Again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. Okay, so as usual, we have a fantastic guest for you today. Very exciting woman, very exciting little mover and shaker in the world of film. Her name is Linda Palmer, and she is a producer, a director, a screenwriter, an absolutely gorgeous woman for all men to gaze their eyes upon. So you might want to go to her website right now. She's got so many of them, but I'm just going to pull up the very first one, OurFatherProductions.com. OurFatherProductions.com. That's a project that she's currently working on, so I'll give you that one. But she also has her own film production company, and you might want to check that out. It's RunawayProductions.tv. RunawayProductions.tv. And we got many, many, many other website addresses we're going to give you for the various projects that she's working on. And we're going to talk to Linda in a couple seconds. So just go to the website and check her out. Well, I have to do my bread and butter advertisement, of course. On June 6th through June 29th, that's Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2:30 at the West Valley Playhouse, we are going to have a wonderful, actually it started Friday night, it's called The Rainmaker. It's in Richard Nash. It's his classic hit romantic comedy, The Rainmaker. And this play was written in the early 1950s, and it actually opened on October 20th, 1954. It's been translated into more than 40 languages, and it was also made into the 1956 film The Rainmaker with Burt Lancaster and Katharine Hepburn. And the story was also made into a Broadway musical called 110 in the Shade. And then the play has been revived on Broadway so many times, but especially 1999-2000, that starred Woody Harrelson and Jane Atkinson. It was also nominated for the 2000 Tony Award for Best Actress in the Play. So this play has been done over and over and over, and obviously because it's a great play. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about it in case you're interested, but the West Valley Playhouse, they do wonderful place. It's a really big theater. I go there all the time. One of my friends is cast frequently there. And I just love the artistic director, John Barry. He's just so kind. And the lobby is huge. And it's got all kinds of eclectic stuff in there. And you can move around. But it's one thing that irks me is a theater that's really small and you're all up on each other. This is a really nice, nice theater. Again, I go there frequently. I haven't seen The Rainmaker yet, but John Barry always puts on great productions. So if you're not familiar with this particular play, just to let you know, it's set in a drought-ridden rural town in the West End Depression-era America. And the play tells the story of this hot summer day in the life of this spinster named Lizzie Curry. And Lizzie keeps a house for her father and her two brothers on this cattle ranch. And it starts where she's just returned from a trip to visit these cousins. And it's sort of It was a failed expectation because everybody thought that she would find a husband there, but she didn't. As the farm it's becoming devastated, Lizzie just worries about her marriage prospects more. Well, actually, she's not worried about it. Her family's the one that's worried about it. Because you know how they had to have women married off at 12 years old or else you were an old spinster by the time you were 15. But their cattle is dying. Lizzie doesn't have a husband. Just all kinds of stuff. So this guy comes along, this con man, trickster. His name is Starbuck. And he arrives and he promises to bring rain because they are in a drought. He says for $100 he will make it rain. He is the rainmaker. So with his arrival, it just sets off a whole bunch of events, and Lizzie starts to see herself in a new light. So again, I have not seen the play, but I read the synopsis, and it sounds like it's a really fun play. And a friend of mine is in it, Daniel Krause. He said it's really funny. Again, just to let you know, the artistic director, John Barry, it's directed by Alan Wasserman. It's starring Spencer Andelson, Jim Follett, and again, my friend Daniel Krause, and a whole lot of talented actors. So if you get a chance and you haven't gone to the West Valley Playhouse, by all means go, because again, it's a really good atmosphere. I really enjoy it. I sincerely do. So there you go. A nice little play. Again, June 6th to June 29th, Friday and Saturday at 8, Sundays at 2:30. And it's the West Valley Playhouse. The website is wvplayhouse.com. And it's in Canoga Park, 7242 Owens Mouth Avenue in Canoga Park. So definitely check it out. Don't know when, but I am going. Okay, back to Linda Palmer. All right, now Linda has been making films for over 15 years, and some of her producing, she's got so many of them. We're going to do a couple, but she's just has so many. Some of them are including the film I was talking about earlier. It's Our Father. It's starring Michael Gross, and Michael Gross is one of my mother's fantasy men. Oh my God, we were glued to the TV in the 80s when you remember him from that great 1980 sitcom Family Ties. He starred as Michael J. Fox's dad. So, oh my gosh, she loved him. I love that show also. It was really, really funny. And also the film Our Father that Linda directs, it stars Michael Wirth. So Linda Palmer's film is currently in post-production, and it'll be heading to the festivals in 2015, but it has just been getting all kinds of acclaim and rave reviews. So far, it's been a semifinalist in the Page International Screenplay Competition, a finalist in CWA Screenplay Competition, finalist in the World Series Screenplay Competition. Oh my gosh, it's probably going to win so many awards. And Linda has done so many other films, and we are going to talk about that. But I don't want to talk the whole entire time. I want Linda to just be able to speak. My Lord, I need some oxygen and a cocktail right now. Linda, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Priscilla. It sounds like a great show. I've heard a couple of them already, and I really, really enjoy what you're doing. And it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned Rainmaker and West Valley Playhouse, because my friend, very good friend, Alan Wasserman, is directing that play.
Oh, my God! Did I leave him out? Oh, Jesus!
No, you told me you mentioned him. But I plan on going. I'm hoping that we can make it this weekend. We always go see Alan's work, and he's just an amazing actor, amazing director. This is a piece that he happens to be directing. So when you were talking, I'm like, hey, that's Alan's show.
Is it? Well, you know what? The coincidences do not stop there, Linda Palmer. And by the way, I love your name so much. I can't just say Linda. I can't say Miss Palmer, Mrs. Palmer. I got to say Linda Palmer. Is it okay? That is the
absolutely
best name ever.
But I have to just stop you 1 second because I'm going to pay tribute real quick. I went to UCLA Extension, and there was a teacher there. She was a screenwriting teacher. Her name is also Linda Palmer. And it was so funny because when I took that class, she was like, you're going through the role. It's like, Linda Palmer? And since then, I get mistaken for her so many times.
Really?
She produced like Piranha and Garbage Pail Kids and, you know, lots of other stuff. And so, you know, I get people like, you know, thinking that I'm her, and I'm like, no, she's a great producer, she's a great writer, but that's not me.
Oh, no. So should we do the hyphenated one? Should we add that
sure, Linda
there?
Palmer Cardone? No. Linda Palmer is fine, but it's so funny because I don't want your audience to think that I'm Linda Palmer, the screenwriting teacher at UCLA.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I know there's so many people, but because it's such a common name, maybe that's why I love it so much, because it just rolls off the tongue. Linda Palmer.
Yeah.
Linda Palmer. But, you know, speaking of coincidences, you are not going to believe this. Another coincidence with us. I think we were just meant to be. The two of us were meant to meet, because I was going through what you sent me and I said, wait a minute, why does that name David Topp sound familiar to me? Why does that name? I couldn't believe it. So I looked him up, and sure enough, I met this boy at the Young Actor Performance Awards. We met
yes,
him.
Yes, he just won.
It was so funny. My friend Pamela Capetta, her daughter was nominated. Gigi Giovanna Capetta. She was nominated, so we went and we met this boy, David Todd. Yeah, he won for The Box. He won the
Young Actor. Yes, he did.
And
he's an amazing actor. We're so lucky to have him. It really all the actors on the project, but David does some really, really great work, and I'm so proud of everybody on this film, from the cast to the crew. It's been just an amazing experience. And you should also point out that you're one of our associate producers on the project.
I didn't want to brag, Linda Palmer. I didn't want to brag. Yes, I am. And I am so proud of it. I've been promoting it like a wild banshee all over the place, going crazy. I'm so excited to see it. First of all, before we get into it, now you wrote the screenplay. Can you tell us about the inspiration for the story? Because I read it, I know it, but I got to turn it on to the audience. How did Michael Gross come aboard? What was the inspiration? Tell us all about our father.
Okay. It was, it's top secret. All over the internet. You can go look it up. No, actually what happened was our own father, my brothers and myself, was not really around much of our life. And he came back into our life about 4 years ago when he Facebooked us. We hadn't seen him or heard from him for like 20 years, and maybe over 20 years. But anyway, so he Facebooked us, and my younger brother and I had had some conversation with him on Facebook, and my middle brother didn't use Facebook, or he didn't use social media. So he called him, and he realized there was something wrong with them. And he proceeded to go and visit him, take him to the doctor. He found out that he was sort of in mid-stage dementia, tried to bring him to his family members, and really no one wanted to take care of him. And so they, in a nutshell, basically my brother and his wife and his son took care of our father for the next 2 years until he passed away. It was a very aggressive dementia, and it was just quite, I don't even know how to explain it. It was traumatic, you know, because
yeah.
you're taking care of somebody that, and we all know, because we all know people that have Alzheimer's or dementia, and it's really, really tough to see somebody that you love going through something that horrible. But you're talking about a stranger. Really, he was a stranger
right.
to our family.
Right.
And, you know, so for them to take care of him, it was very challenging, very challenging. But his wife was a caregiver, and my brother had lost his job, and they decided as a family that they wanted to do that, and so they did. And, you know, I give them credit for it. It was very, very kind of them to take him in. I don't know that I could have ever done that, you know. So the inspiration of the story is there was a moment where he was in the bathroom with our father, and he shared a secret with him that just totally sent my brother. He was just crazy, you know. And he calls me and he leaves this message. And I'm not going to say what the secret is, but he found this out, and over the course of taking care of him and him passing away and them, you know, going through his estate and wrapping everything up, they verified that what he had said was true. And it just basically changed the focus. It changed the landscape of the family. I mean, there's been, it changed our mom's life tremendously. She's turned around 180% and is a different person because of what happened. And
For the better,
absolutely mm-hmm. for the better. And here's another thing: she did not like him. There was a lot of anger because of their separation and his lack of involvement in our lives. And she actually went back the last I'm going to say 6 months of them caring for him, and help them care for him. They were literally like in a prison. They couldn't leave him alone. There couldn't be one of them watching him because he was a black belt in karate. He was dangerous. He could overwhelm them. And so they always needed at least two people to watch him. And it's just a lot to take care of somebody that needs that kind of care anyway. So they could never leave their house. They couldn't do things as a family. It was like that's why I say it was very, very challenging. That's why it was challenging. And I mean, it just totally changed everything. So the thing about Michael Gross is we've been looking for somebody to come on board in that role of the father, which is just an amazing, powerful portrayal of a man that now we all have a much better understanding of who he was. And I think that all of us have we have a different feeling about him, and in good ways, you know. There's a lot of understanding, but we always knew that the actor that played it would probably have to have some sort of connection to Alzheimer's or dementia to really understand what was going on. And actually that's what happened. Michael Gross had taking care of a family member, him and his wife, had taken care of his wife's mother for 10 years, and she had Alzheimer's. And, it's challenging. It's a lot of work. And he was very, very cognizant of, you know, everything it does to a family. They were taking care of somebody that they really, like, was really a vital part of their lives and they had so much love for. And so I think, you know, he tends to be drawn towards darker projects. I've learned that about him, and it definitely is a little darker than most. so he just brought so much to it. He brought so much to it.
He's a wonderful actor. I mean, my God, he's so versatile. He can do comedy at the drop of a hat as well as drama. And one of my mother's favorite actors. So I'm very, very excited to see the film and what he brings to the character. Now, right now, you're in post-production. You've mm-hmm. You've had several laurels and accolades in the screenwriting area, so we're expecting it to be a great, great show. By the way, back to the David Topp, what character does he play? Your brother or
Dave actually plays he portrays my nephew, my brother's son. My nephew. And you know, there's just something about David. He's so sweet and there's a gentleness about him. Mm-hmm. And it's the one trait I really wanted to see in that character, because my nephew is just like the most caring person, you know, and for his age, when you see a teenage guy, you just don't expect those qualities in him.
Right.
And that's what I fell in love with David when he auditioned and when we cast him. I mean, he really brings just such an innocence, but he's just so kind
we got that from him. We met him. My husband and I were leaving the award show, and of course we saw him when he did win the award for The Box, but we were walking right behind them in the parking lot. It was hot as hell. We were all sweating, and I just happened to say, oh, congratulations to your award. And his mom is so sweet. I found out they're from North Carolina. We had we talked about barbecue, Texas barbecue versus North Carolina barbecue. So it was a great conversation in the parking lot. But my impression of him was that he was just a gentleman, very kind, very patient. Yeah. I mean, we were all sweating so bad. And for him to act like it wasn't even bothering him to talk to us told me that this guy had he was so gracious. And I hope that he does so well.
It's funny that you mentioned that. His mom, Melanie, is really such a sweet lady. And she's, you know, such a great promoter of the stuff he does. She's a producer and director herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she came on, when we cast him, she really took on a really active role in you know, promoting our project and just did amazing things. And then when it came time for us to go into production, I asked her if she wanted to be our prop master. Mm-hmm. And also, so she could be up here with him, and also to do sort of like on-set posts to keep all of our supporters and our fans and everything, you know, up to date with what was going on. And she did a fantastic job with pulling all the props together and doing tons of other promoting, but she was unable to actually come up because they have horses and stuff like that, and they didn't have someone to care for them. And so David actually was my backup prop person as well as our actor.
Wow! Now
so he's not just, you know, he's not an actor that's like, he wouldn't, you know, do something else. He actually had a great time. And
it's very rare that you would get an LA actor to be / prop master. They'd be cursing your ass out on the break with the other extras.
I know. And you know what, it's so funny too, he ended up staying with us for the production, and so it was, you know, we really got to know him more personally, and he is every bit as sweet as you say. He's every bit as sweet as you say.
I hope he moves to LA.
I expect amazing things from him.
I know. I hope he moves to LA so we can cast him in more films.
Oh, well, he's already been in LA. He'll be back. His mama raised a good boy.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Now, I want to talk to you about, I know you currently have an Indiegogo campaign going on to get some additional funds. Now, this is going to tie in perfectly with what some people have sent emails about over, I mean, I've been getting them for years, but maybe hopefully you can answer these questions. I kind of tied a lot of them in. Just answer what you can. But basically, some people choose Kickstarter. Some people choose Indiegogo for their film fundraising campaigns. Can you tell our audience which one you prefer and why? Because I noticed that some people ask for the whole film budget, and then some people break it up into various campaigns. For example, some people just ask for pre-production, then they end that campaign, mm-hmm. then they come back production, then post-production. So can you break down the reasoning and what the pros and cons are for each particular way?
Sure. I mean, I have had a lot of success with Indiegogo, so it's my preferred, you know, platform. I prefer to use that platform. And I've met people that work at Indiegogo, and I think that they have amazing support and customer service when it comes to dealing with whoever is running the campaign. I didn't have much luck on Kickstarter, so, you know, I can't really say much about that. I've used Indiegogo probably like 6 or 7 times right now. Generally, the reason I use a campaign is because, not necessarily to raise the money, obviously that's a goal, but really to build my audience, to put out information about it so that people are, you know, learning about the project as it goes on. So with that being the main reason I'm running it, I usually run at least 2 campaigns. One at the beginning, maybe a pre-production sort of thing to introduce it. And it's not very much money. It's, well, the stuff I do, let's just qualify. The stuff I do is pretty low budget. We're not making any, like, you know, $5 million, $10 million, $100 million films here. But the stuff I do is generally minimal location ensemble pieces. And I sort of tend towards dramedies, comedies, that sort of thing, rom-coms, that sort of thing. So with that in mind, I have a minimal pre-production campaign that's sort of just getting the word out and, you know, collecting people's information because they want to be part of it, whether they're donating $10, you know, or whatever, you know. And we always have like a really low perk, like a $5 or $10. And then we get into some other things that are, you know, really unique. Like this one, we have those 2 perks available that are $1,500 each. And not everyone can afford it, I know it, but basically they get to sit down with dinner, you know, with us and at least 3 of the stars of our film, and then after dinner go sit down and see some of the footage of the film before it's actually edited, and just spend probably at least 3 hours with us, building relationships, getting to know us. They get tickets to the premiere, they get a making of book of the movie signed by me. Not that anyone really cares, but, you know, so they get some things that, oh, and they get a credit on IMDb and, you know, as an associate producer, and so they're building up their resume. So it's kind of an investment. It's kind of an investment in, you know, your relationships, because you're getting to really know a producer and actors that are, and these are great working actors, you know, that are working. And it's those relationships down the road that whenever they're working on something else might change something. You know, they might have a project and someone will pay attention to them because they know them. They might be able to approach them. We all, you know, wish we knew Steven Spielberg or, you know, some big actor, Tom Cruise or whatever, so that we could, like, write him an email and say, hey, what do you think of this? You know, but most of us don't have that.
Right.
So this gives them an opportunity to really get to know, like I said, at least 3 of the actors, and to sit down with us and, you know, learn some of our process, see what we've been doing. So if you look at it that way, it's probably not that much money. You know, it's
right.
an investment. In,
but, exactly.
But on the flip side of that, you're getting to be like in the mix and see stuff that other people haven't seen and sit down with the talent in the film. And,
right.
And by the way, enjoy a great meal made by us.
Right. Linda Palmer's cooking.
Well, I got to tell you, that's funny that you said that, because my daughter, who's like 16 and, you know, is a fairly picky eater, is telling us on a regular basis that my husband and I, Mark, who's also a producer in the film, need to either open a bar or a food truck because our food is so good.
Oh, my God.
And he wants to drive the food truck.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it. I'll be the first customer there. I'll buy one of everything. Oh, my goodness gracious.
We totally crack up.
Oh, but, my God. So it's Yeah, it's definitely an investment. Like your campaign, you have another campaign going. So again, if people want to contribute to this film with Michael Gross and be able to be on board for the project, and again get what Linda Palmer has just told you, go to Indiegogo right now and type in "Our Father" film, "Our Father" film, and she has many.
I think actually sorry to interrupt you, Priscilla.
Oh, that's okay.
If you type in "Our Father" post production, then that will come up. And here's the thing. You know what? They can donate from $10 to $1,500.
Yeah.
And actually, at $100, they get it on a private call with Michael Gross, and you know, a group call. And at $250, they get IMDb credits, and they're an associate producer. So there's still some great opportunities at lower levels. It's not just the $1,500, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. I was looking at them. I said, oh, these are really great perks. And keep in mind, people, when you donate to the – I hope this is – correct me if I'm wrong. But usually when you donate to these film campaigns, you get – okay, so for example, for those who have never donated, here's how it usually works. If you start out with, say, select a perk and it's $10 and it's – say on this page, it's "Our Fan." So you would get a special thanks shout out on their social media pages and the bumper sticker. So then if you go to, say, $25, usually what was included in the $10 is also included in the $25. Now, I don't know if Linda has her set up like that, but
absolutely.
That's usually how it works. So then for $25, you'd get special thanks shout out on the special media pages and a bumper sticker, plus a DVD of the movie. You also get special thanks shout out on the social media bumper stickers. That's $25. And then say you want to give $50. So you'd get what was for $10, what was for $25, plus what's $50, and it goes on and on and on. So by the time you get up to the $1,500, the superstar perk, you would get every single thing that had come previously. So a lot of people did not know that. I was surprised that they didn't get that, because when people are writing out the perks on the campaign, they just assume everybody knows that. But I had a lot of people who said, oh, God, I want to donate this, but I really wanted this. And I said, oh, well, you get that. And they didn't know that. So keep in mind, people, if you want to donate to Linda's film on Indiegogo.com, you want to type in "Our Father" post-production and marketing. And then again, every single perk will be added. It kind of gets added. So go there now and give Linda some money. Break open those piggy banks and give her some money. Now, Linda, you're also — what I found very exciting that I did not know about you — you are also a production designer. I did not know that. So for people who don't know what I had so many questions on that one. For people who don't know what a production designer does and might be interested, because this particular year, my goal was to focus on behind the scenes jobs, because of course everybody comes in here in a mass exodus to be an actor or a producer or a director, but I like to focus on these other particular jobs, which are wonderful jobs, like a production designer. So can you, just as quickly as possible, but you know, I don't want to tie you down with that question, but what a production designer does, what type of education do you need, what's the best way to get your first job, and in your opinion, what film had the best production design and why? Now, if you can remember that, you are an amazing woman, and you did not partake in psychedelic drugs in the 80s, because I remember that.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Okay.
Well,
all right, what's a production designer do, and then what type of education, and how do you get your job?
Okay. Well, basically, a production designer is the person that's in charge of the look of the film, the feel of the film. So along with the director and probably some of the producers, there's a vision they have of what kind of look they want. And so a designer works with them to bring that together. And they sort of, underneath them, encompass what the costume designer's doing, what the art direction and construction's doing, any kind of set dressing, props, all of that sort of falls under the production design umbrella. There's, you can probably take those sort of courses in a lot of the film colleges. Basically, it's sort of design and architectural. So anyone with those kind of skills or those kind of classes could probably move into that field.
If they're poor and they can't afford to go to school, is there a way for them to get a job, like, from
absolutely.
The bottom?
You know what? Actually, most production designers move up. They've been probably at first a PA, an art PA in the art department on a film. And then they've probably become like a prop master or a set dresser or a set decorator or an art director, and then they become a production designer. Now, that's not how I did it.
Right, right.
Because I'm the one on my films, and this goes back, this is a different way to do it. When I took on a film as a producer, I felt I had a creative voice that I wanted to express in that film. And I was lucky in the sense that the directors I was working with really liked what I brought to it. And I was really good at finding locations. I was really good at taking still photography. And I had a really great idea for design. It's just, you know, it's not like I went to school for it, because I didn't. I didn't go to school. So, you know, basically, it's kind of like the feel of, can you create this world that this director wants? If you can create that world, then you can be a production designer. So, and you start out on small films and you move up. That's the way it is. And actually, back in the day, a long time ago when the studios were, putting out tons of movies, a lot of times the production designers became directors. It was a step up to go from a production designer to a director, because they had such a, they were so in tune with design and pulling all of those departments together. So it was like a leading step. You know, for me, my favorite production designers would be designers that actually create a world that I don't know. You know, like these movies, Star Wars. Okay,
Yes.
You know,
Avatar.
Worlds that take you, Avatar. Worlds that take you, like, you're in a place that's so imaginative. The Harry Potters, any of those kind of films. I look at those production designers and I'm just like, to be the person that is visually designing this world and creating this world is amazing. I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, a lot of that is working with whole other departments, animators and, you know, everything else. But then there's that the other group of designers that are creating the past and making them look so authentic. You know, these movies that are just, they're the past. You're looking at them and they're flawless, you know, and every bit of that is the world that they've created, whether or not they've gone back and they've researched and they found out that, you know, all the little things that were there in the 20s when they're creating the segment or whatever, or this world. So, I don't know, I'm kind of in awe of the whole thing. If I weren't doing anything else like writing or that, you know, writing, directing or anything like that, production design would be absolutely the thing I want to do. In fact, it's the thing that I love to do on a film. There's some frustration with me in directing because I'm not that great a technical director. It's not like I can go, oh, I love directing. It's my favorite thing to do in the world. You know, this challenge is in producing that I don't necessarily love. No one really likes looking for the money, but that's what a producer does.
Right.
And they put the whole team together. I like building teams. I'm a great manager, and I can chew people all day long and go love working on the project, but there's nothing I don't like about production design.
Well, there you go. Production and future production designers. Now, you have two exciting projects coming up that I want to talk about, because believe it or not, Linda, I cannot believe we got 10 minutes. Can you believe it? Time flies. Can you believe that? But I want to talk about...
Amazing.
I know. See, you and I would probably be talking for hours, because I can tell we are definitely talkers. We love it. Now, you've got something coming up called Last Call at Murray's 2015. You're in pre-production for that. So we'll talk about that. And then also let's talk about Food Heals, which is your documentary, and you're filming that. So let's start at Last Call at Murray's. Inspiration, what's it about, et cetera.
Okay. Well, let me just say something on both of those. Both of those are not my projects.
Oh.
Murray's I auctioned. Actually, I bought the rights, and we are producing it. I'm producing it with one of the writers.
Okay.
And so that's what's happening with that.
Okay.
At Boot Heels, I actually only came on as a producer. That's a project written, produced, and directed by Allison Baker and Laura Sands. And I actually was brought on board on Boot Heels to take them through the rest of some of the production they need and actually into distribution and marketing, because there's some things they want to do with that, and I totally believe in what those women are doing. They're amazing. So Last Call Murray's is so close to my heart. It's amazing. We grew up with a bartender mom, waitress mom, and it's about a bar that's closing down, and there's a blizzard, and 13 people get trapped in it. And so they're stuck there overnight, and it's about how these people's lives change overnight.
Oh, I like that. Who wouldn't want to get stuck in a damn bar during a blizzard with a bunch of wild turkey whiskey? That's like a dream.
Exactly.
That's a dream.
You must have read the script.
Woo!
Turkey, by the way.
Count me in as an extra if there's a part two.
No, it is a great project. And if anyone wants to get involved, it is so much fun. I mean, our father's pretty deep, and it's drama. But
well, if they want to find out about it, there's a website, right? Lastcallatmurrays.com. Right?
That's it, lastcallatmurrays.com, no apostrophe, just lastcallatmurrays.com.
Yeah.
It's a fun website. You should feel like you're in a bar. Feel free to browse it. We've cast four of the roles. We have two more that we're going to be announcing in the next week, so we'll actually have six of the roles cast.
Yeah. How are you announcing them? Are you announcing it through Actors Access or LA Casting?
It's actually listed on Actors Access and Breakdown Services. We've gone, and this is how you and I met. We met through our mutual friend, Deborah McCarthy, our casting director.
Yes! Fantastic casting director!
Yes, and she's cast almost everything I've ever done, so Deborah's amazing. But so Deborah and I have gone through probably 20,000 submissions for like six roles. It's insane. And we have another, what, I don't know, seven roles left to go for.
How do you, I mean, obviously so many great actors get lost in the cracks. That's just the name of the game. But what do you do to kind of, there's no way you can go through all those. What do you do? What is your rule out process when you're
looking at, honestly, first,
do you look at resume? What does, I want to know what goes on the other side. What do you look at to narrow it down?
Quite honestly, Priscilla, it literally is a looks thing. It's like, does this person kind of look like this type that I think this character is? So if you don't, you automatically are out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we're challenged and we go, oh, I didn't think about it, but actually that is a good look. Not very often, but mostly we have a look in mind, and we actually say that. We actually say on all the breakdowns, we're looking for a Christina Ricci type. We're looking for a Parker Posey type. We're looking for a Margot Robbie type. So it's one of Deborah's and my pet peeves is you got people that look nothing like that. And sometimes there's even guys thrown in for a woman's part. We said we want a 5'9" muscle-bound kid, and we got like 6'5" giant submitted. It's just a waste of everybody's time.
I know.
I think that people submit because they just want to. They want a chance, but it's not a chance. You're just wasting people's time.
And not only what you actors don't realize is that Linda Palmer, directors, casting people, they will remember that you submitted to this part. Believe me, they got minds. Their minds are so sharp, and they'll remember you for the next time you submit. And they'll go, there's that dingbat who submitted for my project for a woman.
Yeah, and you know what? You're absolutely right. And because Deborah and I work together, and anyone can look us up, it's called research. Anyone can look us up and see that we've done all our films together. So if you're going to submit yourself and you don't fit the role, you've probably done this many times.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We have the same people submitting all the time. And it's like, can you just submit for something you fit? When you fit, then your chances are improved a zillion percent. And to get past that, once someone looks like it, then we put them in a different file, and then Deborah and I go through, and we look at their reels if they have it. Very important for actors to have reels on there. If they don't, they end up in this category where we'd like to have them in, but we can't see that many people, so then we have them self-tape. Well, then they have to go out and they have to put themselves on tape, they have to send it to us, and that's like a pre-read.
Yeah, so, and by that time, they probably somebody already probably submitted who had a reel, and you cast them, so you should just...
Yeah, and actually, most casting directors would never do that. We are, Deborah is very fair with actors, and there's a lot of people I see that wouldn't have been seen. And so, anyway, we go through that process. We look at their reels. The strong ones, we call in for an audition. If we have too many, we ask for self-tapes. There's always a bunch of people that fall off during that process. And then, are you ready for this? During the auditions?
Yeah.
Most people don't show up.
Oh, my God, I know it. Oh, my Lord. Or they come in and they're late and they have every story in the book. Yeah, it's just not going to change within the next 1,000 years.
It's not.
It's not. But I'm just excited. We've got 3 minutes. I want to cover the... What do you want to talk about? The very last topic. It's Lady Linda Palmer's choice.
You know what? Actually, I'd love to say this. I do want to say something about Blue Heels. That is a great project. We are heading into the end of production on that. Allison's an amazing writer-director, and just follow that project and see where it goes. It's going to be out in 2015, too. My other project, Halloween Party, is the other one I like to talk about because we're promoting. That sounded fun.
Glad you're bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. People are going to go, but that movie's already out. It was in theaters last year. Here's the thing, people. It's going to be like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mark my words. Every year during Halloween, the week of Halloween, people are going to be requesting these screenings across the country through TUGG. It's TUGG.com. And anyone that's a Halloween fan can request a screening, and they can go. They can dress up at the theater, lets them, and they can have a great time. It's such a fun film. We happen to be crazy Halloween freaks. We got married on Halloween. We're going to have an insane Halloween party. It's going to be our anniversary party this year. You're invited.
Woo! I'm there!
I know. So figure out your costume. And, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great Halloween.
Let me get that in there real quick. HalloweenPartyMovie.com. HalloweenPartyMovie.com.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be, hopefully, that's going to be like a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, we're a play. And you know what? Halloween fans are crazy. Like we say all the time, some of our fans haven't even been born yet.
I like to think that my next husband hasn't been born yet. I do technically.
Aren't you married right now? I don't know that sounds very good for your husband.
I've been married 18 years. I told him, I said, you're on your last leg with me. I asked him to do the laundry. God knows he took all my whites and put them in with the darks, and now they're all black and blue and spots.
No.
I said, that's it. You are on your last leg out the door. You know, I'm Irish. We don't put up with that. But yeah, so fantastic. So let's give that website another, let's see, HalloweenPartyMovie.com. Also, if you need your film a production designer, Linda loves to do production design. She has a company, again, runawayproductions.tv. So maybe maybe Steven Spielberg's listening. He wants to hire you. Linda?
Have Steven go to my production design website. That's LP, like Linda Palmer. ProductionDesign.com.
Woo! LPProductionDesign.com. Wow! So I am so excited. Everybody get over there on the Indiegogo website and give Linda some money to help get this film done. They need it for post-production and marketing. So go to the website, Indiegogo.com, and again, type in Our Father Post-Production and Marketing. And she has some wonderful perks. I mean, she's very, very generous, as you can see. And they're really fun jokes, but perks. What? See?
They are jokes. I'm just kidding.
I just did it again. That wild Irish rose. All right. So my mother actually will probably be donating because you know she's obsessed with Michael Gross. So I'm going to tell her. Try to hit.
Is she going to come to our dinner?
I Well, she's in Connecticut. We might have to make a break. But so for $1,500, you get the private dinner. Now, Michael Gross is going to, is that for the $1,500? He'll be joining you for the dinner, right?
Yes, Michael Gross said that he will be there. So, and quite honestly, all of my talents said that they want to be there. I'm just saying that if, you know, whoever wants to show up for dinner, they can show up for dinner.
See that? And now with you cooking, everybody's going to want to show up, for God's sake. So we're going to have to be cooking the night before. Well, thank you again so much, my darling, for coming on. I thought you were going to be fun, and you're so much fun. So let's get working on getting you some money to finish this film. And by all means, if you have any other projects, please email me and let me know. And also any casting.
Thanks so much.
Because all my casting director friends send me notices and say, can you put this on your sites? Because I have lots of followers. So I got like 23,000 on my Twitter and 1,000. So send it to me. So you never know. You'll have more people to go through. It'll be,
you know,
40,000.
Yeah, the poster, the breakdowns are going out like every month. In fact, we're listing the three of the main characters this next month in July on Actors Access and Breakdown Express.
Okay, it'll be Our Father. Is that the one for Our Father?
No, not Our Father. It's for Last Call at Murray's.
Oh, Last Call at Murray's. Okay. So everybody listening, look on the breakdowns, Actors Access, Last Call for Murray's. You heard Linda Palmer. She is a sweetheart. And I'm sure that she's going to be doing some more fun projects. Please, please promise me you'll come back on my show to promote your
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. So adorable.
You are so fun. We are going to hit the bottle hard and heavy.
I'm already hitting it.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Linda Palmer, say goodbye to your fans.
I love my fans. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye, Priscilla. Thanks.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.